Yeah, when you hear, you sing some of these songs, it brings back good memories, you know, happy things. And that's what the peace of God does to you, brings you peace. And on this Mother's Day, you know, I think about good, happy memories of my mom and grandmother. And, you know, I want to, my daughter's been a mother for a while, and I'm hoping that, you know, she can pass it on, pass it on. And, you know, we're looking through 1 Samuel and the story of Hannah, a woman of faith. Hannah means favor and with grace. And, you know, we need God's favor today. We need His grace today, whether you're a woman or a man. But especially for this lady here, Hannah, my heart went out to her, and God's heart went out to her as well. And, you know, there are people today, they can't do what other people can do. You know, I could never get on the piano or organ and play them. I try to play bass with my wife at home. That's the best I can do. And letter G, you know, do the best I can to make a harmony and a joyful noise unto the Lord. My point is, it's not all of us can do what others can do. And that's why we get together and we try to help each other. We try to work things out, you know, in love, because that's what the body's all about. Jesus is the head, but yet the body can't function if it doesn't have an arm or a leg. I know some people may think that's Sunday school stuff, but it's the truth. And those things that you learn as a child growing up, you know. But getting in, let's get into Hannah, a woman of faith, 1 Samuel. Okay, today we need some really good role models. In our lives, we had people like Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David. You know, they all had their problems, you know, but they repented and they went back to God. And you have women such as Sarah, Ruth, Esther. Oh, these women were strong. God loves in a woman a quiet spirit that is priceless, priceless. But yet, I've seen godly women that are very strong. And I'm talking about with godliness. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch and to perceive and to be thankful for. And we have women like that in our church today. I'm not puffing anybody up, but I'm very thankful for the ladies here. And the ladies know, too, that nobody's perfect. They're realist. They're loving. And they have something to share. Their godliness. Christ in them, the hope of glory. And so, there are role models today. One I'm going to look at here this morning is Hannah. And with that introduction here, number one, I'm going to be looking at she had real problems. There were real problems that come up with all of us. But you know, a problem in my book is like 1 + 1 = 2. God can take care of that. God can figure that out for ourselves. And He figured it out there for Hannah. Chapter 1, it says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the Mount of Ephraim, and his name was Eclaniah. And that was the husband of Hannah, the son of Jehoahim, the son of Ehu, the son of Tuhu, and the son of Zoph, and the Ephratite. You have to practice these words before you say them out loud to people, you know. But why am I saying verse 1 in Samuel chapter 1? Is because the lineage, listen to me, the lineage of Christ came through this. So the people at this time, they knew that there would be a Messiah. Some of them did, not all of them. But Hannah knew, and we're going to get to that in a minute, that Jesus Christ would come. And it's one thing about my mother that I'm very thankful for. I remember as a little kid, she would sit down at bed with the brothers and I, while Dad was gone, and read out Bible stories out of a book. You know, I'll never forget that. It's one thing I'll never forget. There's nothing more precious than a mother's love. Nothing more precious. Because when mom spoke, everybody got quiet. Because if you were in my household, if you're disobedient to mom, guess what? Dad was coming home and you did not want dad to get upset when he's been at 2 days at work straight. He was a bay pilot. He brought ships up and down Chesapeake Bay. Verse 2, it says, and he had two wives. The name one was Hannah and the other name was Phinehas. And Phinehas had children, but Hannah had no children. Yes, God does not like polygamy. He had more than one wife. My goodness, that's terrible. That's tragic. God wanted to have one husband, one wife. That was it. The problem was you had polygamy going on at that time. God did not accept it. God did not like it. But again, Israel was apostatizing. They were walking away from God. And this man went up out of his city early to worship the sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And his two sons, Eli and Hophni, and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. So they went up during the time there at Passover, and they did their worship, and they did the sacrifices. And you had, you know, the priest there with there at the tabernacle. And remember, that's very important to remember, because later on we'll tell you why. In verse 4, it says, when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Phinehas, his wife, and all her sons and her daughters portions. And then verse 5 says, but unto Hannah he gave worthy portion, and he loved Hannah. But the Lord shut her womb. Verse 6 means that she couldn't have children. And her adversary also provoked sore to make her worry, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And verse 7, and as he did so really by yearly, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. In other words, one wife could have children, the other one couldn't. And people can be very cruel and very mean today in our society. Very cruel and very mean. But yet, Hannah handled it right. She went before the Lord and she fasted. And she ignored, seeing nothing in there where Hannah spoke back to her. She ignored her and put her attention on the Lord. Godly woman. Verse 8 says here, and then said Echaniah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? It's interesting that Hannah was quiet. She didn't say a word to him. You know, gentlemen, when our wives are quiet, that's a sign to me. If my wife's, I have something to say to her and she's quiet, I better listen. It's some wisdom. And sometimes I get myself in trouble because I talk too much. And she's quiet. And I'm like, I should really listen to myself sometime, you know? That's the best piece of advice that I can give to you this morning about treating your wives the best way that you can. Love them as Christ loved the church and died for the church. And love them and be for them. Protect them. Provide for them. Be there for them. And always, you know, put Christ first. I got that. Put her second and others and yourself last. So she was quiet. And then we see here in the second part that she had faith and she had vibrant prayers. And remember, she was only human like the rest of us. She had to deal with bitterness, weeping and anguish, just horrible things. But I like what she did in verse 11. We'll get that to there in 2 minutes. It says, so Hannah rose up after and eaten in Shiloh, and after had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon the seat of the post of the temple of the Lord. Remember Eli. Remember his two sons were sleeping with the women in the temple. Remember Eli, and his sons were eating of the sacrifices in the temple. Remember Eli, putting the poor man down after all these years, but he was not a strong leader. You know, man, we need to be strong leaders, and we need to be careful and gentle to our women and the mothers here. Getting off the subject a little bit, but I feel the Lord needs me to say that this morning. So, okay. So she meets with Eli, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. She made a vow. Be careful about our vows that either yea or nay, because the Lord takes no pleasures in fools. Just like I said last Sunday here at the Lord's Supper. Get it right with the Lord, you know, or don't. You know, or go home and deal with it. As simple as I can say that in a loving way. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, as the idea of the armies of the Lord. She knew she had a relationship with the Lord. She knew that the Lord could do anything he wanted to and what was best for her. If thou wilt indeed look at the affliction of thy handmaid, remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid. It's interesting. A handmaid has the idea of the lowest type of person in that culture. You know, I did a sermon not long ago over at Evan talking about this with Elijah and how this widow lady had nothing except a bowl, a pitcher of oil. And we say, yeah, oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. But there was a miracle. Elijah, she called out to Elijah. Elijah came on by. Elijah said, you know, I want you to go ahead to your neighbors and ask them for vessels, pots, that's all it was, fill it up with oil. And I will fill it up with oil. So he took the one vessel, he poured it into an empty vessel, and now that one vessel was able to fill up all the vessels. And what did this poor widow lady have? Because she had a son that was all was left, except some bread, and she gave it to Elijah because he was hungry. He said, that's just terrible, that's being selfish. Now, Elijah said, all right, fine, through the Spirit of the Lord, I want you to go sell it. She had enough money left over to pay her debts, and because she was threatened to take her son away, or actually had two sons, and into slavery. Back in those days, if you didn't pay off your debt, you would owe by working it off. We shouldn't do that today. You don't think? What happened to our work ethic? I don't know what happened to it, but yeah, that's the way it was in that culture. So it was all done. God took care of that poor widow. That mother had two sons. And Elijah went on her way and she was okay. She was well taken care of. But she was a handmaid. So, and here Hannah is called a handmaid. And it says, but I will give unto thine handmaid, that's there to Hannah, a man child, Samuel. Isn't that wonderful? God promises that. Yet her womb was closed. And then I will give him unto the Lord in all the days of his life, and there should no razor come upon his head. In other words, there's something that the pagans would do, would cut their hair in certain ways. But, you know, with Samuel, there's a special way that let all their hair grow out. You know, no razor would come upon his head. And they would also do that for cleanliness, too. For that reason. So there are specifics here. God said what to do and what not to do. And it came to pass that she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. In other words, Hannah would go to the temple every day and pray. And she would get almost into a stupefied situation. If some of you have ever fasted and ever gotten almost into not in a delirious way, but in the spirit of the Lord, be careful, because some people get in that delirious state of mind, and they start doing weird things. It's not the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord was working through her. Big difference. And if it's going the other way, it can be very well demonic. So just be careful. And there's a lot of churches today, I'm warning you by the grace of God, some churches go that way. Okay? Get in these stupefied situations, and they start saying things and doing things that are not of God. But she was of God, and she had the Spirit of God in her. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Okay? Something's wrong with her. She's just moving her lips. She's just here before the altar of God in the temple, and she's just murmuring, talking to God. Sometimes we're like that when, you know, we're all pasted out. We're just all over, we're flattened before the Lord. And God's speaking to us. I like to be that way. Sometimes I don't. I'm sure you all have been there too. You don't like to be pasted out on the floor. And, you know, you just you and God. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And that's where God wants us to be. She was a woman that feared the Lord. Is the beginning of wisdom for us to remember. Count not thine handmaiden or daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of the complaint and grief have I hereunto. Belial, you know, she was. And then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee my petition that thou hast asked of him. So Eli, he was the priest, and he saw what was going on. And he blessed her and said, go in peace. You're going to be okay. You know, we have mothers today that are going through some unprecedented trials and tribulations. And it seems like nobody knows. And they're weeping. And they're kind of bitter about the past. And who can blame them? I mean, some people today are going through so much, and it's hard not for me not to cry about it, because I think about, oh, these poor ladies. Oh, God be with them. God, give them the grace. Help them at this time. And yet, she prayed. I like what it says here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, where, you know, it says here, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You know, she never complained. She never got angry at God. She was just upset about her life. You know? And I like that she prayed faithfully. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 say this. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So number one, we go to him. Number two, if it's his will, he will hear us. Will he not answer our prayers? Yes, he can. In James chapter 4, verse 3, if we ask amiss, God will not answer our prayers. Verse 15 says, if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desired of him. So it's, Lord, whatever you want. Oh, you know, but I've got some really bad circumstances, she was saying to herself. And God was saying, peace, you're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm going to get you through this. Trust me, obey me, for there's no other way. So you see what happens here next with verses 19 and 20. It's interesting. Actually, verses 18 through 19. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So in other words, God answered prayer. Eli said, peace be with you. And God answered her prayer. And he says, you will have a child. Lord spoke to her. It was a miracle. I believe in miracles. Miracles can happen. Remember, we have false miracles, but we have real miracles can happen. My salvation is a miracle. Your salvation is a miracle from the Lord. And yet for mothers today, they need miracles too. I really believe, like I say this again, I don't want to sound like a broken record. If we don't get serious with God, God can't get serious with us. I'll say it one more time. If we don't get serious with God, God can't get serious with us. Our country has gone astray. It's put God behind them, not before them. And look how far behind we are as a country. And we're going straight down fast like a roller coaster. And nothing's making sense anymore. lies don't make sense. Verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. So that she went ahead, she got up early in the morning, she was worshiping God. You know, I tell you what, when you're down and out like that, either things are going good or bad, you're going to worship the Lord anyway if you're serious with God. And returned and came to her house to Ramah. And Eklinah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 20, and therefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah was conceived, that she was bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? God answered prayer for this mother. You know, what about those who can't have babies? Well, there's a reason for everything. Again, like I said earlier, there's some things that God allows and things that don't allow. Be thankful for what you can or cannot do. I'm not saying it's any easier for a lady who cannot have a child, you know, a desire that wants to have one and can't have one. There are options out there for that. But remember, it's from the hand of the Lord. It's as lovingly as I can put that. God can give, God can take away in that situation. And my heart goes out to you. And for those who can help somebody in that situation, please help them if you can. Usually I've seen women, help women is the best equation in the math to help out for those. So we see here also that Hannah was a woman of faith, experience in God's provision. And we see here and also that a woman of faith excels in keeping the promises. In verses 21 through 28, and the man Eklinah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord yearly sacrifice and a vow. But Hannah went not up, and she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Eklinah, her husband, said unto her, do what seems to thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish him. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she had weaned him, until the child was able to be on his own. And by this time he was about 3 years of age. And then when she had weaned him, took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord Shiloh, and the house and the child was young. Then they slew a bullock and brought up the child, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am a woman that stood by thee, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall lend to the Lord. And she worshipped him, the Lord, there. You know, when we dedicate children to the Lord, we mothers, you've probably done that, and fathers too. You stand before here and you dedicate that child to the Lord. And you pray that, you know, when a child is, raise a child up when he is old, and when he has done that, he will not depart from it. In other words, doesn't mean that that child will necessarily always follow the Lord. Give you us some wisdom. We know that. Sometimes there's little cute little babies we hold in our arms that will be birthed onto other children, will walk their own way. Some of us are grieving over children have walked away. Some of us are rejoicing because they still love the Lord. But when they get old, they will make their own choices, go their own way. But we still have to be examples. And I'm thankful for women, mothers, that can be godly examples of that. And so what we can learn from here, from Hannah, and I just love this, because we're going to read a little bit here in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Paul had already read from it. I'm going to give you some a little bit further insight here from this as the Spirit guides and directs. Chapter 2. So now you have Hannah. She's taken it before the priest Eli. And what's beautiful in chapter 2, you don't have time to read that on your own, is that Eli, actually, before he dies, he trains Samuel in the temple what to do and how to do things. What a beautiful thing. You know, if a person wants a job and they find somebody that knows what they're doing and they can train them. It's one thing going to school, but if you can get some practical knowledge and know somebody what they're doing. So Samuel was actually Eli was grooming Samuel at a very early age. He's taking little baby steps through the temple. Oh, I want to talk to Samuel one day, or talk to the Lord one day when I get to heaven. I can't wait, because we're almost there. We're just steps away from heaven, all of us. But I want to talk to these people. I have an eternity to talk to our Lord and Savior. I have eternity to talk to Samuel and say, what was it like in the temple? You know? And, you know, tell me about it. There's so much to learn. We're just scraping the surface here. But I love this in chapter 2. And we're so close. Don't give up. Keep hang in there. Run the race by God's grace. Don't give up. We're praying for you. All your mothers, all your fathers, everybody in the church of Christ. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted. A horn has the idea symbolically of greatness and strength. People blow their horns. It usually was an announcement to make. I want to get your attention. The Lord is here. I want to praise the Lord. And it says here, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. She was rejoicing in the Lord. After all she's been through, dear saints of God, some of us have been through so much. Rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God understands. By the grace of God, you're here, and you wish you could bring more people in. Bless your hearts. Let them not be troubled. Like it says there in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. He loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. Verse 2 says, and there is none holy in the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock. The rock is talking about Jesus. She knew the coming Messiah. We're going to get to that in a minute. And this is so exciting. Hannah knew this by the Spirit of God. Remember, the rock is a metaphor for our security and our rest. For our security and our rest. And verse 3 says, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. In other words, she has a humble spirit. She's boasting in the Lord. She's thankful for her salvation. She knows she's just not far from heaven's doors or heaven's gates or however we want to look at it. We're looking for the Lord to call us back. He can call back us at any time. Remember, there's a trumpet, angel trumpet, loud trumpet. And he used to make callings back in those times. Even when a husband would marry a wife, it was beautiful in a Jewish wedding, the husband would call a trumpet and call the wife. You know, it was just beautiful. And, you know, they would, you know, have a long procession and make a big festival of it. The Lord's coming back for his bride, for his church. Verse 4 says, and the bows of the mighty men are broken. And look at the contrast down in verses 4 through 7. She says, this is coming from Hannah through the Spirit of God, this mother. And the bows of the mighty men are broken. God is all powerful. And they that stumbled are girded with strength. In other words, God can strengthen even the most feeble ones. And then verse 5 says, and they were full, have hired out themselves for bread, and they that are hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7. Remember Hannah in chapter 2, verse 21, she has 6 children, including Samuel. Isn't that wonderful? God, you know, when God blesses, he gives us more than what we ask. The problem is we're so spoiled. We are spoiled, you know. God provides, he takes good care of us. And we should not fret or worry. Of course, that's the opposition, the enemy. He wants to get us at a standstill and not do anything instead of fighting back or trusting in the Lord and getting on with my life or just ignoring the world, weird things in the world, the weird thoughts that come in our mind. You know, he wants to get busy for him because the foe knows he's defeated. He has lost the war, but don't kid ourselves. We have plenty of battles to fight. So we need God's grace. Hannah needed God's grace. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. I kind of laugh at that because as a guy, I have no idea what women go through when they have children until my wife had her first baby and I was there. She went from white to green to yellow, her skin complexion. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. They say they have kidney stones is pretty bad. Well, I've had them too. They say, oh, it's just as bad as childbearing. I'm like, are you kidding me? I did not turn white to green to yellow, whatever. You know, I didn't. Oh my goodness. God bless the mothers. You know, what they have to go through. And she that has many children is waxed feeble. Seriously, that means is weakened with many children. I knew one guy's wife who had 13 children. One day she looked at her husband, no more. That's it. What's wrong with you, woman? And they were kidding around. And she says, no, I'm tired. I don't need any more children. I don't want any more children. We've heard women having 21 children. A few of us rolled our eyes. It's like, oh, Lord, no. No. So thank God for what women go through their bearing times. Verse 6 says, and the Lord killeth and maketh alive and bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. In other words, there's going to be two resurrections. She's saying here, through the Spirit of God, that there's going to be a resurrection, remember, and also for the living and for the dead. In other words, you know, when you witness to somebody, it was great, we're using this over the Easter time. You know, there's going to be two resurrections, one for those that are in Christ and one that are not in Christ. Then you got their attention because people are thinking, what's going to happen to me after everything's said and done? Okay, I'm done. You know, doctor says I have a few days to live. Now what? You know, for most people, it's too late. But it's never too late by the grace of God. Amen? By the grace of God, so are we. God saved us. We're sinners. It's never too late. And I remember witnessing to my mother a few days before she passed away. Only God knows where she's at. That's not for me to judge. But I love my mother. And I respected her. And God says in his word, he blesses those. You bless your parents, your father and your mother. You don't curse them. You love them because without them, we wouldn't be here. One and two, we just do it because we love the Lord. We love him. And then it says a verse, closing this up here. And he's the Lord maketh the poor and maketh the rich. Verse 7, he bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth the poor out of the crust. He lifted up the beggar in the dunghill, and he set them among the princesses, and he maketh them inherit thine throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. That means the foundations, how things were made through the power. Nothing is going to change. Everything scientists say is just a miracle. I could preach a sermon in itself how the earth is made and continues to be balanced on those axes. And he has set the world upon them. Verse 9, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, whereby the strength shall no man prevail. In other words, even with going back to chapter 1, you had Phinehas. She remembered that. She remembered even how cruel and mean she was, saying, I could have children, you can't. Hannah didn't rebel. She didn't talk back. She trusted the Lord. She kept her eyes on the Lord. And that could go for us guys too, our people that give us a hard time. Love them. Love them. Remember, by the grace of God, so are we. So verse 10, I'm closing with this. And the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of the heavens shall be thunder. And you know, this is the idea of God's presence. It's thunder. When he speaks in heaven, you know, that thunder, you hear that, it wakes you up real quick, doesn't it? It's the power of God. Remember, he's a loving God. Now, in the future, he will be our judge. But thank God for those who are saved that he will be a loving judge. It will not be condemnation, that kind of judgment for those who aren't saved. Be thankful for our salvation. Don't give up on our children, our children's children. And upon them the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto the king and exalt the horn of the anointed. It's interesting in that term anointed has the idea of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And she was glorifying the Lord. When you get a mother who's in prayer, you better watch out. Because I have seen mothers in prayer, they can change things. Women in prayer can change things. You know, there's something about that, like it says in 1 Peter, a woman's spirit is precious, a quiet spirit. You better believe God's listening to them. I've seen it happen. So Hannah had her prayers answered. Concluding, she is a woman of faith. Hannah was. Which is meaning that she was a woman of favor and grace with God. She endured real problems. She extended vibrant prayers. She experienced God's provisions. She excelled at keeping promises. She expresses her praise to the Lord. Those five steps. And thank God we have women like that today. But remember, even though we have problems and we have things we need to go to God in prayer about, remember, don't ever forget we have our salvation. And we need to commit to the authority of the Lord. And through the fruit, like Hannah's lips, she didn't stop praying. She didn't stop praying. So at this time, I want us to remember that her faith kept her going. Her faith kept her going. So let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. And thank you, Lord, that we have examples of the faith that we have to follow. And thank you for this lady, this woman, many years ago, went through that trial, went through that fire, and she came out as gold. And she is an example for all of us, men and women, mothers. And I thank you so much, God, that you have godly women out there who are not afraid or not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed to come to church, not ashamed, Lord, to be seen, be criticized, Lord, that believe. Thank you for the faith that we have. We are justified through faith, through grace. And thank you that there is great favor that you bestowed upon us years ago when we got saved. We thank you for your blessings. Things may not always turn out like the way we want them to, but we want to be in your will. We want to follow that because we know that you love us. Things of this world are not the things of what you want us to do. We want godly wisdom like Hannah did. We want not worldly wisdom. Lord, show us, give us discernment, loving discernments. And thank you, Lord, for music and rejoicing, fellowship. And pray that mothers can be given thanks for. And for those that are suffering right now, Lord, in third world countries, those that have to turn to prostitution, which is a horrible thing, just to feed their families, that have no money, nothing, Lord, that you would give them a special blessing and help them at this time. Because not all mothers are respected like they should be. And pray that those who aren't, that they'll get saved. And pray that we'll continue to witness, to be faithful, and testify of your great love and your saving power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.